and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
We need to have table talk. We need to have a recording going on.
No, we don't.
Before the podcast and after the podcast.
We talked about this before. We like
we
our jobs.
We were having a great conversation.
Yes.
And now we're recording, and the audience is going to miss out on so many of the nuggets that we share.
They come for the nuggets from you, not from the other nuggets. Not for the other nuggets.
You just called Amy J and Amy T nuggets.
Well,
you realize that? Oh, my goodness. And don't edit this. I want this to stay. We need to stay informal on the podcast, Jonathan.
Yeah.
We don't need to stay with your formality on here. I know. We've got 13 signs of pastor fatigue to be talking about. I'm glad for those pastors who were trained at Midwestern Seminary. And by their training, they will probably be one of the few who don't get fatigued because they got great training.
Yep. Well, their Timothy track offers select residential MDiv students placement and internship positions in a local area church. Now you can complement your studies within the field ministry experience. In addition, all Timothy track students receive up to 12 credit hours for the internship and a 50% tuition scholarship for the first year. You can find out more at mbts.edu/Timothy track.
Okay, we've got 13 signs of pastor fatigue. We are grateful to Dr. Chuck Lawless.
Yeah, one of his posts from back in the day.
Yeah, back in 2015, one of his posts on TomRainer.com. And he provides a lot of rich material. And we said, let's expand upon this just a bit. And we're going to do so on the podcast today.
Yeah, and you mentioned 2015. We got about 5 or 6 years worth of archives at TomRainer.com. And I would say 95 to 99% of it is kind of evergreen.
Yeah.
Anytime that you're have an issue in a church or something, go to TomRainer.com, search it out. There's so much information in the archives back there. You know, like 2 or 3 years worth of posts from Dr. Lawless, you know, 5 or 6 years from you, a couple of years from me. I mean, mine
is an occasional guest post.
Yeah, an occasional. Sam's written a few. I mean, we got a few on there. So there's plenty of information at TomRainer.com, and we're kind of going back and finding some of these old posts that may have been kind of missed the first time around. And a lot of you may be new to the website, new to the podcast, so go check out some of those
issues. You know what we're doing, Jonathan? We have an intern this summer.
Yeah.
She's doing a lot of work at TomRainer.com to try to bring a lot of the material together in some type of systematic form. So with the listening audience and the reading audience in the future, hopefully we'll be able to share some of that information from the work she does.
Yep. So a lot of information there at TomRainer.com. And we're going to talk about, you mentioned it, this post from Chuck Lawless, 13 signs of pastor fatigue. Sign number one, living by a get-me-through-the-day philosophy.
I would expand upon that. I like what Dr. Lawless did when he said, get me through the day. Basically, I put this as the theme as work is work. And so you have a job, and what you want to do is get through the day. What you want to do is get through the week. You live for the days that you aren't at work.
Yeah.
And that's a miserable existence. It's a miserable existence in pastoral ministry. It's a miserable existence anywhere where 80% of your awakened time, you're unhappy.
Yeah.
And you're always looking forward to not being there.
Yeah. Watching that clock, 5 o'clock.
Watching that clock. And that happens in pastoral ministry too many times. Get me through the day. You begin the day maybe with a time of prayer, but your major theme is just, I'm going to make it through this day. I can't wait for this to take place. Anything that is not related to your work or vocation, that's what you look forward to, when the reality of it is most of your time is at work, so you're mostly miserable.
Now, this is not saying that you won't have a day every once in a while where you're just like, oh, please let this day end.
Oh, I've had those plenty of times.
I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
And
I've caused you to have some of those days before.
Never.
Yeah.
That is not a way to live on a consistent basis, though.
Exactly. So that's why I expanded it to more than just get me through the day. I don't like work. Work is work. And if work is work, life is bad.
Mm. Number two, losing vision.
Yeah. Anybody who leads but does not lead without purpose is a person who is miserable, because you're leading, but you don't know where you're going. I mean, you talk about blind leading. That's what it's like to lose vision. So you have this idea of a commitment, a future state, but You're worn out, and so that just does not drive who you are. So you're leading without a vision, and when you lose vision, you've basically lost your reason to do ministry day by day.
Number three, developing poor sleep patterns.
I don't like this one.
Because you have?
I have sporadic sleep patterns. And again, I'm one of the worst ones to talk about. No, I'm not one of the worst ones because I can. There are plenty of times I get 6 and 7 hours sleep. There are plenty of times that I do. But then I'll get on a work binge, and I'll be up to 2 and 3 and then get up at 6, and I go on those binges. So I'm pretty inconsistent here. But Chuck is right. If you're tired and sleepy, you cannot do your work well. As a matter of fact, throughout my entire 40 years of marriage, Nellie Joy said, "Are you sleepy? Did you get enough sleep?" Translated, that means, "You seem real ornery today. What's wrong with you?" And so I agree with Chuck in theory, but in essence, I don't always practice that. But goodness, think about the demands of ministry. I just got off the phone this morning with a guy, and I'm not going to give the details of his situation in his church, but it's a mess. It is absolutely a mess, and I mean, it's making a mess everywhere. And I'm just listening to him talk about the mess and just listening to him talk about, you know, things just falling out here and there, and I'm just thinking, how can you make it through the day with this kind of mess? And I'm just, you just can't.
Yeah.
And if you're not taking care of yourself, and one of the ways is through sleep, then you're going to have a tough day.
Number four, declining spiritual disciplines.
Yeah, I was in community group last night.
Sharing your feelings, your hopes and your dreams.
I was sharing my feelings. I love the people in my community group. I really do.
I hope they don't listen to this podcast.
They don't. I don't think they know it exists. So I was in community group last night, and one of the questions was had to do with your prayer life and how consistent it is. And the guy that was leading it said, "Tom?" I said, "What?" "Well, you know, you haven't spoken in a while. How's your prayer life?" I said, "All right, you really want to know, it's inconsistent. It's persistent, but it's inconsistent. So if you talk about a quiet time where I am always diligent, setting aside an hour each morning, inconsistent, really inconsistent in that. If you're not a praying pastor, if you're not a pastor consistently in the Word, or any church leader for that matter, then you will not have the spiritual strength. We talked about physical strength. You will not have the spiritual strength to make it through the day. And so, yeah, declining spiritual discipline.
Number five, repeating lessons and sermons.
I began doing this, Jonathan, during a 12-year time of interim pastorates. There was a period when I was at Southern Seminary where I went almost 12 years solid as an interim pastor in one church or another. I think it was 9 different churches.
Wow.
And I would have one lined up just as that another one was concluding. Early on in my interim pastorate, I said, "This will be easy because I'm just going to use reruns."
Mm-hmm.
You've seen my box of sermons and
the napkins.
The napkins and things like that. So I had all of these notes. And you know what? I found I started dreading preaching when I was using those, particularly at the same church. I'll use something as a repeat if I'm at a different place on a regular basis, but going to the same church, because I was trying to feed the congregation, but I was not feeding myself. And you feed yourself by being in the Word and preparing those. And so repeating the lessons and sermons, going back to the file, using some of the oldie goldies, yeah, there are times and places for that. But in a church where you are consistently trying to feed them, you need to be fed as well. And that comes through study and the discipline of preparing new stuff.
Yeah, well, and I'll give you credit for that because I travel with you, have for the last 3 or 4 years, and heard you speak probably 100 times or more.
Yeah.
In the last few years. I mean, I've heard similar texts. I mean, we joke about the minor prophet stuff. And you've talked about that, but you've had different themes along the lines of those. You've similar, you know, texts from Scripture, but you know, I've never gotten tired of, you know, well, here comes that sermon again, or here comes this.
I mean, because I don't remember it.
Well, there's that. But you always tailor everything to the specific context, to the specific crowd, to the specific event. So every time you speak, it's something going to be new to me.
Okay.
And,
well, that's good.
You know, I'm hearing it. So I feel like that's even in something like where you're doing, where you're not doing you know, a sermon every week, but you have four or five, you know, speaking engagements a month, you're not just going and recycling the same talk every time you get up there to speak.
I wouldn't know how to recycle, because that would presume that I had the information in some kind of form where I could say it the same way consistently.
Well, yeah.
The napkin is the napkin.
Yeah, but I think that helps battle fatigue, though.
It does.
It keeps it fresh.
You know what? When I first moved, where people don't know that we're in a temporary office before we move in just a few months to our new headquarters. When I came to this temporary office, I had this stack of napkins that Amy J. had gotten me. And it was about putting notes on the back of napkins. And it was literally for that. Mm-hmm. I still have a few of those napkins. And
you got to restock.
Well, don't have to restock. Just simply, I can use envelopes.
Yeah.
But I don't do the same thing over and over again. But particularly if I'm in a local church, I need to be fresh and steady. Not just in delivery as well.
All right, number six, faking joy and excitement.
Yeah, it's kind of like me acting like I'm an extrovert. It wears me out sometimes.
What's your greeting at church?
I am the worship center greeter now, which I think is the most difficult, because you have to go up to people and initiate conversations with them.
That's why you're the pro at it.
And
That is, if there's anything that I think of when I think of Tom Rainer, it's that.
Yeah, you are so full of malarkey. So when I'm in that situation where I'm greeting people in the worship center, there's someone watching me, and it's Jess, and he'll fuss at me if I'm missing someone. He'll go over and take care of him himself. I say, well, give me just a minute. Well, you weren't doing your job. He doesn't talk to the other church members like that, but faking joy and excitement, yeah, if you're really not joyful in the work that God has called you to do, it's hard to fake it for any length of time.
People are going to notice.
And eventually you're going to just blow up because you cannot continue to fake it.
Number seven, frustrating family members.
Yeah. Think about the number of times pastors, I'll include myself in that, have gotten home after a bad day, and they take out all of the bad things on their family. The family may not have any idea what's going on. Maybe it's the kids, maybe it's the spouse, and then you come home and you can no longer hold it all in. You let it go, and that is just one of the things. I mean, think again about Paul's letter to Timothy. He said, if you cannot manage your own household, how can you then lead the church? Very clearly, he was saying that the family is the first line of ministry. Sometimes we treat them like they're the trash can of ministry, and we just dump all of our garbage on them.
Number eight, magnifying minors.
That
not,
is true.
Not minor prophets.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I've done that too often in leadership. I've done it here at Lifeway. I did it when I was a pastor. And things that can seem like at the moment that they're just major issues, you look back and you say, well, I overreacted to that. Why didn't I just pause for a moment or give it a day or two? So I'm still learning that at age 62. I'm still learning those lessons, but that's a lesson that pastors can learn as well, that if you are letting those little minor things get to you. I did a blog post, and it's in the show notes. I did a blog post a few months ago on gnats in ministry. The only thing about that was some people really got mad at me.
Yep.
They thought I was calling them a gnat, and then I got to thinking about, well, maybe
when
I
you
was.
Throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit.
There you go. There you go. But gnats in ministry just refer to the minor things that bother you. And sometimes it's people, sometimes it's circumstances, and some things, sometimes it's just unavoidable situations. And you can focus on those things in any type of vocation, but particularly in the roller coaster ride that's called the pastoral ministry, it can really get to you.
The ninth sign of pastor fatigue is failing to return emails and phone calls.
I really think that there are some pastors who are doing a poor job at this because they tell me so. And they tell me that they don't even get to their emails until 3 or 4 weeks later. I said, well, you might as well not get to your email at that point. One of the things that I have advocated to many pastors, look, get yourself an assistant who can help you. Okay, you may not be able to afford a full-time assistant, but go to Belay.
Yeah.
Go to Belay. What is it? Belay.
BelaySolutions.com.
and say, I need someone 10 hours a week, just 10 hours a week. And that's the great thing about having a virtual assistant is that you can have someone to help you with that. You have your own testimony about how Belay helped you at the onset to organize your work life just by the fact that you had an assistant now that was saying, what do I do next? And you had to be organized to be able to say, this is what you do next. Mm-hmm. Pastors that aren't investing in some type of help to get their emails done, to get their phone calls returned, and it's usually the former more than the latter. That's not always that many phone calls, but they're going to get miserable because on their mind is, I haven't returned this call. I haven't done that. I discovered this morning, Jonathan, a text message that I did not respond to that I got yesterday afternoon. And I woke up this morning, looked at my bedside, looked over my emails and my text, and there was that one. And I'm just thinking, oh, no. I felt terrible. Absolutely.
I forgive you.
It was not you.
No, I texted you early this morning, and you popped right back to me.
Yeah, I was. So. I had my phone in front of me. But the text came in during the day. And
You had a busy day yesterday.
I had a busy day. And, you know, the thing about text messages.
Busy day every day. But.
The thing about text messages, if you punch on and read it.
It goes away. You lose the notification. Yeah.
You're not thinking about it anymore. So that was just one. I felt terrible because I did not respond. You will feel terrible if you are not responding because you're anticipating, oh, these people haven't heard from me, particularly in church life. I know many pastors get beaten up. Well, I posted on Facebook. Why didn't you respond to me? Or I sent you a DM on Twitter. Why didn't you respond to me? Or I sent you a text. Why didn't you respond to me?
Yeah.
There, you have to have a system or a way to deal with this. That's why we recommend that you get help doing that.
Yeah, Belay is great with that. Just 5 to 10 hours, you could probably get somebody just to help you with the communications aspect of being a pastor. Number 10, misdirecting affections.
That's the case of looking for affirmation in places you shouldn't be looking for affirmation.
Yep.
In other words, if you're beaten up so much, you want to hang around that person that tells you you're wonderful, that person that,
you're
that
wonderful,
makes you
Dr.
feel...
Hunter.
That does not change my feelings towards you one bit. And this can also result in things that should go wrong morally.
Yes, yes.
And so when you're looking for your affirmation and your particularly affections from others, you're already headed down a path for trouble. And this isn't just a situation of fatigue. This is a situation of failure.
Yeah. Ooh, good one there. Number 11, decreasing exercise.
Yeah, I'm so sporadic about that too. I'm really thankful for Designated Survivor.
Keeping you on the treadmill?
But only 45 minutes a week. I want them to start having a day. I tried watching some things that Amy T recommended to me, and they're okay. But you know, she told me that they were some of the best television shows ever, and it was just.
She's going to come across this table at you.
That's okay. I just hit
karma.
The microphone just hit me in the nose. They were okay, but
talk about Sherlock like that. She will come at you.
The only time I watch television is on the treadmill. So, you know, I'm sporadic if I don't have a good show to watch. And I've taken every course I know to take. I know there's a lot more to learn out there, but I don't know what else to take. So, decreasing exercise. Professional fatigue, emotional fatigue, and then physical fatigue. They all go together.
Number 12 here is one I think is one of the big dangers, focusing on a grass is greener syndrome. It seems like we know too many pastors, too many church leaders, that no matter where they are, the grass is always greener. I mean, and we look at them, hey, you've got a good situation, and they're always looking, always looking.
Sometimes it's bigger is better, is not.
Nope.
Sometimes it's a different location is better, not usually. Sometimes it is, they have this going on that our church does not. And what you'll discover is the green grass that you're looking at is some other person's brown grass because they're gone now. Mm-hmm. They left it. They left it for a reason. God does call people to different places. I get that. But if you are constantly focusing upon where your next place is and constantly doing political activity to try to get your name into different places, Jonathan, I have a number of pastors who will connect with me, and it won't take long for me to see that their purpose really is to use me as a conduit to find their next place of ministry. You know, I think they're here for, you know, I want a church answer, or I want to be a part of a consulting ministry, a coaching ministry, and their reason is they want to be able to find the next place of ministry. There are too many pastors out there, too many staff persons who are not serving where they are called to serve right now because their heart has already gone to another place or to various different places.
Note to listeners, take Tom Rainer off your resume. So,
well, let me put it this way. Take Tom Rainer off your resume if you haven't asked me.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one too.
Because if someone...
Have you ever gotten that?
Oh, yes.
Question, you know, call from a search committee or something.
Oh, yes.
Do you know so-and-so? Nope, never heard of him.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh.
I said I know them, and I did not give permission for them to put me as a reference, and if they had asked me, I would have said no. I mean, that one was a year ago, a search committee in the Northwest, and I knew this person very well, and I just got on the phone and said, he put me as a reference?
He must think much higher of you than you do of him.
I think they weren't expecting them to call me. I mean, it. Believe me, he didn't go to that church because, you know, when I do a reference call, I speak truth.
Yeah. Well, I've even seen you talk to people about jobs and people get hired even though you told them no.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that happens.
Yeah, it does. It does happen. I'm not in control.
Yeah. All right, finally. Avoiding people who speak truth. Speaking of speaking truth there.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking of me speaking truth, but there are people who speak truth into my life. You know, around this table are three people who mostly will say nice things to me.
And Amy T.
And Amy T. But I think if any of you three thought I was going down a path toward destruction, you'd let me know.
Yes.
So, and then there's Brad Wagner, who will confront me if he thinks I burp too loudly or something of that nature.
Or if your shirt is the wrong color.
Oh gosh, well, he has an issue with that. But I can always count on Brad to speak truth to me. I mean, we'll come out of a meeting, and I think this happened several months ago, and he'll look at me and say, well, you were a jerk in that meeting. Well, okay. And, you know, I've said sometimes, I said, do you realize the org chart? Do you realize you report to me?
He says, he doesn't care.
He says, fire me.
I'm ready.
Fire me. I love having someone like that speaking into my life. Many of us have spouses who will do that. And
I'm pretty sure Nellie Jo's not going to pull any punches.
Really?
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 Yeah. I think she shoots from the hip.
Yeah. I totally agree. I got Brad. I've got Nellie Jo. I've got three around this table, Amy, and Jonathan. And
your pastor.
Jess, most definitely, and my other pastor, Mike Glenn. I don't think my membership has been moved from that church either. So, yeah, I think I've got enough accountability, not maybe enough accountability, but I do think there are people in my life that will speak truth to me. There's some people who will avoid that type of person. And you know what they want? They want to be surrounded by the sycophants, and they always want to hear what they're doing well instead of this is not a very good thing.
Yeah, and that's a path for destruction there. Because it creates an echo chamber. You don't realize when you're in trouble, and by the time you do, it's too late.
Remember the conversation that you and I had recently with another pastor talking about the downfall of a pastor? And he got to the point where all he wanted were yes people around him, sycophants who told him how great he was, and his ministry's over now.
The green room syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. He just wanted to be this popular guy that everybody loves, and his ministry's over now.
Yep, it is. All right, well... Once again, I want to thank Vanderblumen Search Group for sponsoring today's podcast. They're the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They got a fall lead pastor and executive pastor coaching network that has registration open right now. Dr. Rainer is going to be participating in that fall lead pastor coaching network. So if you're a lead pastor and executive pastor looking for a peer roundtable coaching, check it out over at vanderblumen.com/coaching. It's only limited to 16 people, so you got to get in there before those spots fill up. And check that out over at vanderblumen.com/coaching. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership and the first half of 2017, Dr. Rainer. Can you believe that? It seems like it was just yesterday. It was Christmas, and now it's the middle of the summer.
Oh, it seems like yesterday was in May. That's Christmas. I mean, it's just right around the corner. Yeah, we'll be at Christmas time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, my only final comment is I hope that you'll hurry up and sign up for the Vanderblumen event. I'm excited about some of the new information I'll be presenting there.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Thanks again to Chuck Lawless for the content of today's post. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.